In Graham Greene's Second World War thriller, The Ministry of Fear, adapted for radio by Jeffrey M. Matthews. The Ministry of Fear.
Now, we've been looking for you for months, Mr. Rowe.
I'm sorry. The first time I knew was last night.
Lived a bit out of the world, haven't you?
I was in a nursing home.
Nursing home?
Yes, there was an air raid. I lost my memory. All I know is that I woke up in the home knowing nothing.
Well, I trust your memory's returned now.
I can remember some things. Bits of my childhood.
Makes it very convenient for you, doesn't it?
Inspector Beavis, I'm trying to tell you all I know. Everything I remember about the murder.
You interest me, sir. You mentioned murder. I've said nothing about murder. No newspaper has used the word either yet.
I don't understand.
No? Well, let me just refresh your memory. Your statement now. Where are we? Ah, yes. I, Arthur Rowe, have made this statement voluntarily. Last night, when I saw a photograph of myself in a newspaper, I knew for the first time that the police wished to interview me. I have for the last 4 months been in a nursing home kept by a Dr. Forrester, suffering from loss of memory. My memory is not fully restored, but I wish to tell everything I know in connection with the murder of...
who? I don't know.
Who told you we wanted to talk to you about a murder?
Dr. Forrester.
Dr. Forrester told you?
Yes.
How did he know?
Well, he must have seen it in the papers.
We've never mentioned murder to any of the press. Now, perhaps, sir, you'd better tell us, in your own words, just what you do remember.
It won't be in order.
Oh, I wouldn't let that worry you, sir. I think I'm able to sort things out.
We were drinking tea. He was demanding something.
Hmm? Go on.
I can't remember. Or what I do remember is completely absurd. He wanted a cake.
A cake?
Yes. A cake. Made with real eggs. There was a fete. And a band.
Come on, everyone. It's all in good form. Comfort for mothers of the three nations. You, sir, wouldn't you like to try your luck?
I'm not good at guessing weights.
Oh, it's worth it. We all clubbed our butter and egg rations. I'm sure your wife would love a cake made from real eggs.
I'm not married. All right. Here. I'd say, well, £3.04. No, £3.05.
A very good guess, I'd say. Now, why don't you go and have a good look around? The vicar will announce the results at 5. It might be your lucky day.
Sit down and cross my palm with silver. Then and only then will the veil be lifted. Now, show me your hand. First the character, then your past. The law does not allow me to foretell your future.
I don't want to know the past. Tell me the future.
What did you say?
Don't tell me the past. Tell me the future.
These are my instructions. What you want is the cake. You must give the weight as 4 pounds, 8.5 ounces. Now go, it's almost 5 o'clock.
It's almost 5 o'clock. Am I too late?
But the vicar still hasn't shown up. Every extra penny helps.
I don't want you to think I'm greedy.
No, I'd never do that. Just give me your sixpence. Now, what do you guess?
I'd say, 4 pounds, 8.5 ounces.
How much? Anyone could tell you're a bachelor.
As a matter of fact, the gentleman is absolutely correct. And since it's 5 o'clock and the vicar's still busy, I declare him the winner.
Well, all I can say is he'd better be careful then. Must be heavy as lead.
It's made with real eggs.
And you, sir. Hope you enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure I will. If you'll excuse me.
The luck lucky winner. My dear sir, you're not thinking of leaving.
Seems quite the time to go.
Quite, but there are still a number of people about, so I was wondering, it's usually the custom of a fete such as this, whether you'd put the cake up again. It is for an excellent cause.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
The cake. We'd like to auction it. My name is Sinclair, Reverend Sinclair. I'm supposed to know to have a touch for, touching.
It's no way to run a fete, to stop people taking their prizes.
You surely don't come to make a profit.
I've no intention of making a profit, but I fancy the cake.
You there, Reverend Sinclair?
Hello?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, but I'm afraid I'm the bearer of ill tidings.
Oh, sure you are. You want my cake, too.
Oh, it is not a question of wanting it. I must have it. There's been a terrible mistake. About the weight, I mean. The real weight was 3 pounds, 7 ounces, and I'm afraid another gentleman won.
Well, I suppose he guessed it exactly.
Well, no, but he was within 3 ounces. His guess was 3 pounds, 10 ounces. Oh,
then there's no problem. I keep the cake.
But he did guess it almost correctly.
I'm sure he did. But you see, Vicar, I had 2 tries. I guessed 3 pounds, 5 ounces the first time. And by my reckoning, that's much nearer. Well, look, here's a pound for the cause. Now, I'll bid you all good night.
Now, nothing too difficult about remembering that, was there? Let's see if you can go on.
A lot of people sitting around a room. Then the lights went out.
No. No, there was something before that.
After you took the cake home?
Yes. We were drinking tea. He wanted the cake.
Who wanted the cake?
The new lodger. He was deformed. My landlady brought him to my room.
Abide by these terms without reservation. The armistice was signed by my representative and the representative of Marshal Badoglio.
Sounds a bit more cheerful tonight.
You're sure you don't want to try your cake?
The gentleman might prefer biscuits.
I'm very fond of cake.
If you fetch it, Mrs. Purvis.
All Italians who now.
And a pot of tea.
You and I. We should be able to speak freely.
I thought you wanted to hear the news.
It's the stupidity of war.
A message from Marshal Badoglio.
They talk about democracy, but you and I, we don't swallow stuff like that. If you want democracy, there is only one place.
Eh? Where?
Germany.
They're coming closer. If I were you, sir, I'd think about moving to the shelter. It'll be getting crowded soon.
You run along. Mrs. Purvis? You didn't bring a knife.
Oh, dear. It's those sirens. They drive everything out of my mind. I'll nip down and get...
Don't worry. My Boy Scout knife's on the shelf. It's still sharp after 30 years. Now, Mrs. Purvis, you'd better get onto the shelter or you'll lose your favorite corner.
Right.
Bombs drop, people die. And for her, a corner is the world. Tell me, what do you want?
Peace.
Good. So do we.
I wasn't thinking of your kind of peace.
We can give you peace. We work for peace.
We?
My friends and I.
Are you... conscientious objectors?
One can worry too much about conscience.
You think we should have let him take Poland?
You and I, we are men who know the world. We both know that Poland was one of the most corrupt countries in Europe.
Perhaps, but who are we to judge? It's like any crime. It always involves the innocent.
My friend, you are so wrong. There are times when even murder can be excused.
Murder?
We've all known cases, have we not?
They say that you shouldn't do evil so that good may result.
You shouldn't do evil, the Christian ethic. You are intelligent, so I challenge you. Have you followed that rule? Well, of course you have not. Haven't we checked on you?
Checked?
But even without that, I could have told, yes. The moment I saw you, I knew not one of the sheep.
That one was at the end of the next street. You say you checked up on me? Well, who are you?
You know there was a mistake.
Mistake?
Yes. This cake. You know it was not meant for you. So we want it back. We'll pay. Within reason.
You haven't told me who we are.
We are intellectuals, free men, not bound by conventions, patriotism, sentiment. We haven't what they call a stake in the country.
You keep saying we.
Naturally, I see no sign of you cooperating. Now, the cake. We can have it.
No. I suppose it's principle or something. But I won it and I intend to keep it.
Then there is no more to discuss. It is a pity. There are so few intelligent men left in the world.
You put something in it.
You're saying this man, a stranger, tried to kill you?
Yes. He wanted the cake.
Why?
That's what I wanted to find out. So I started digging. I saw someone, a man called Rennett.
The bomb stopped him killing you, is that what you're saying?
Yes. It was a direct hit just three doors away. My digs were destroyed.
And that prevented you being murdered? Look, sir, I'm a private detective, not a... Look, I tell you what, sir, you just tell me what's troubling you as if I was your best friend.
You may think it funny, Mr. Rennett, but somebody tried to kill me last night. That may not sound important when it's happening to so many others. It's made me angry. I've told you about the fate and the cake. Now I need to find out more.
Was the man killed?
No, he was taken to hospital. I called round.
And he'd gone?
Yes. He'd been fetched away. Apparently it was only a concussion.
The hospital would have his name and address.
I checked it in the London directory. It doesn't exist.
Well, there could be a dozen explanations for that.
Tell me, Mr. Rennett, how long have you been a detective?
Long enough.
And in this long career, have you ever come across such a thing as murder or a murderer?
Frankly, sir, I haven't. Life isn't like one of these detective thrillers. Murderers are rare. They belong in a class of their own. Oh, yes, a class of their own.
Well, that is most interesting. Especially to me.
They're very seldom what you or I might term gentlemen, outside of books, that is. No, you might say they belong to the lower orders.
Oh, in that case, perhaps I ought to tell you. He had put some hyacinth in the tea. I recognize the taste.
Of course. Arthur Rowe.
Yes. That's what makes me so furious. They should pick on me, those amateurs.
And you, Mr. Rowe, are a professional. You know, sir, I think we both need a drink. I hope you don't mind a teacup. I'm sorry, there's no soda. cheers.
To better days.
Aye, the sooner the better. If you'll excuse me for a moment, my assistant, Mr. Jones, I think he's back.
Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and a door about my lips.
Which one is it? Hang on a minute. What did you say?
Were you ringing? The police?
Or
a doctor.
A theatre. I promised my wife. I make it two in the stalls.
You were ringing a theatre?
Yes, that's...
And you don't even give your name?
Look, I'm not sure I can take your case, sir.
I think you will.
Well, really, it's out
I'll
of my...
I'll pay well. It always comes down to that, doesn't it? See, Mr. Rennett, I'm I'm rather like a peer. He pays more because of his title. Well, he tries to travel incognito, but usually comes out. Now, how much is it going to cost me?
Beavis. Oh, good. Yes, bring it in. Sorry about that. Now, you've remembered you hired Rennett.
Yes. He still thought it was a confidence trick, but I persuaded him to check the poison books. You see, I knew it was Hyacin.
Of course. You would.
I'd have been found dead, and people would have said it was suicide.
Conscience.
Yes.
Yes, I can see the headlines. Are these the pictures?
All there, sir.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Rowe, I'd like you to look through these photographs. See if you can recognize the murdered man. Can you remember his face?
I think so.
Take your time. You know him?
No. I just thought... No. Yes. Yes, here. This one.
You know, I was always beginning to feel sorry for you. Stop wasting my time.
They did it with my knife.
Stop play acting. This man hasn't been murdered. He's as alive as you are.
Alive? Then I'm not a murderer. Tell me. Was he badly hurt?
You really mean it? Look, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm getting interested. Where did you see him? And when?
It was after I'd hired the detective. We traced the organization that ran the fete, the Comforts for Mothers of the Three Nations. I went to see them. There was a man there, and his sister. Their name was Hilfer.
And you say Mrs. Bellairs gave you the weight?
Yes. That is, if she was the fortune teller.
She was the only one at the fete.
It's a fascinating story. I find myself most interested. Yes, Anna, I think we must help. You, sir, may count our society at your service. Now, the first thing is to find Mrs. Bellair's address. If it is a misunderstanding, we must clear it. Come here a moment, my friend. Across the street, in the shop doorway. See him?
Yes.
He arrived just after you and has been there ever since. There he goes, pretending to light a cigarette. He does that too often. From my experience, I escaped from Austria. I would say you are being trailed.
It's all right. His name is Jones. He's a private detective. I pay him to keep an eye on me.
Anna, our friend is taking this most seriously. But now that we are allies, there must be no holding out.
Well... All right. I think the cake contained something.
What?
I don't know. But he didn't really eat the slices. Just crumbled them between his fingers.
It may have been a habit.
To crumble a cake, a habit?
Yes. One of those English characteristics you study so carefully.
No. It wasn't habit. I know it sounds unlikely, but... I mean, if you'd watched that wretched cripple playing with the cake, poking it about... crumbling the pieces on his plate. He wanted something, and he was willing to kill me to find it.
You really believe that a friend of Canon Toppling would try to kill you?
Why not? There are a number of people in Austria you have said couldn't do the things we saw them do. Cultured, pleasant people. No, today murder is dirt cheap. But they call it having ideals.
Hello? Yes? Just a moment. It's Lady Dunwoody.
Lady Dunwoody, we are so grateful for your offer. No, we can never have too many woolies. Oh, yes, to our office. Good. We'll expect your chauffeur. Goodbye. You think it's an odd way for someone of my age to fight a war. But collecting woolies is useful, and it's something not to be interned. But your story excites me. It gives me the opportunity to take a more violent line.
Leave it alone.
No, this is war.
War? How do you know, Mr. Rowe, that it isn't just theft? Drugs?
I don't know. And I don't care. I'm angry, that's all. I believe the cake contained a message.
Which a bomb destroyed. I think we must see Mrs. Belair's Anna. The address, please.
You can't leave the office, Willy. You have an appointment. I will go.
It can be cancelled. This is important and there could be trouble.
We could take the private detective.
And advertise our intentions? No. He sticks out a mile. We must lose him. I'm used to losing spies. It is something I learned from experts.
Mr. Rowe could go alone.
No, we drop the detective and then Mr. Rowe and I will call on Mrs. Belair's. Perhaps she will look into her crystal ball and clear up this mystery.
Yes, gentlemen?
My name is Hilfer of the Free Mothers Fund. This is Mr. Rowe. We are friends of Canon Toplin.
Our group always welcomes newcomers, so long as there is no hostility.
I can assure you, Mrs. Belair's, there will be none.
Now, let me see. Oh, yes, Miss Pantill, Mr. Cost, Mr. Newey. This is...
My name is Hilfer. This is Mr. Rowe.
Welcome. May I introduce Dr. Forrester?
Mr. Rowe? Mr. Hilfer. I take it you could do with some tea, hmm? Good.
Milk and sugar?
No, thank you. The rationing, you see, I stopped.
No need to feel guilty. We have an excellent source of supply.
And what do you do, Mr. Rowe?
I sit and think.
Excellent. I shall call you our philosopher. We have Mr. Cost, big business, Dr. Forrester, our psychiatrist, and now you, our philosopher. Yes, Maisie?
Telephone, Mum, from Mr. Rowe.
I don't understand. I mean... no one knows I'm here.
Please, take your call, Mr. Rowe, but be very quick. Interruptions change the aura. Maisie will show you where the telephone is.
Through here, sir.
Oh, hello?
Mr. Rowe?
Yes?
Are you alone?
Yes, but...
Mr. Rowe, listen, you must leave. Do it as quickly as you can.
That is Miss Hilfer, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Do you want to speak to your brother?
No. And please don't tell him. Just leave quickly. You are in danger.
Why don't you want to tell your brother?
Because he would only want to stay. If you go, he will leave also.
Miss Hilfer, the private detective, Jones, is he still outside your office?
There is no one there.
I see. Yes, I'll do what you say. I must go.
Mrs. Belair says we are keeping everyone waiting.
I finished.
Who was it?
My private detective. He wants to see me at his office. I'll make my excuses and...
Oh, we'll go there, but afterwards.
After what?
Something we must not miss, not at any price. Mr. Rowe, I think we were wrong. We will only have fun here, but keep a straight face. After all, Mrs. Belair is a friend of the good Canon Toppling.
The doors to our world are now locked, Mr. Rowe. The lights dim. We will now join hands. The link to the other side will be complete. No, I can't hear. Speak louder. One of you is an enemy. You're not allowing it to come through. Evil. Evil. Did you?
wanted to live.
Oh, stop it.
I wanted
to please stop
to
it.
Live.
This is... Stop it. Oh, stop it.
The lights.
Stop it. Someone, please, stop it.
That's better. Mrs. Bellairs, I must congratulate you on your performance.
Oh, my God, Cost. Look at Mr. Cost.
Oh, good heaven. A doctor. We must phone.
I'm a doctor.
What's wrong?
Get back, please.
What is
it? Let me look at him. I think someone had better call the police.
Oh, the excitement. Poor man. His heart couldn't stand it.
I'm afraid not.
Has he died?
Cost was murdered.
Oh, that's impossible, Dr. Forrester. The door was locked.
Yes. Which means that someone in this room did it.
Oh, but that is impossible. We were all holding hands.
No. Mr. Rowe broke the chain.
I do not intend to examine the body further until the police arrive. But for your information, Cost was stabbed.
Stabbed?
Yes. With a Boy Scout's knife.
Oh, please. Would someone unlock the door?
Why, Mr. Rowe?
Lavisry, I want to be sick.
I don't think anyone should leave until the police arrive.
I'll phone them, and perhaps someone will come with me.
And if no one objects, I can go with Mr. Rowe.
I suppose that will be acceptable. The lavatory is on the first floor.
Go on. It's no disgrace to feel sick. I'm all right. Then why the knife? It's mine. The one I used to cut the cake. I didn't kill him.
Of course you didn't.
Then who did?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out. But you, my friend, must be kept out of this. At least until Mr. Rennett and I can... By the way, who was it who rang you? The truth, please.
It was Anna, your sister.
Good for her. She must have found out something. But how and where? Never mind, I will find out.
And me?
You will go underground. It is the fashion of our decade. Communists are always doing it. You do know how.
This isn't a joke. Is my knife.
Believe me, my friend, the end we are working for is no joke. But if we are to keep our nerve, we must also keep our sense of humor. You see, they have none. Now, give me 1 week. Keep away for at least 7 days.
But the police, they'll be here soon.
It's nearly dark outside, and the drop is small. In a few minutes, the sirens will start. Thank heavens for the regularity. Now go.
And you?
Flush the cistern as you go. Then knock me out good and hard. It will be the best alibi you can give me. After all, I am an enemy alien.
Free Mothers Fund.
Mr. Hilfer?
Yes. Is that...
Arthur Rowe. Hello. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. But you shouldn't phone.
There's nobody else to ring. Except your brother. Is he there?
No.
You heard what happened?
Yes, he told me.
You knew something was going to happen?
Yes, but not that. I thought it was going to be worse. I didn't know Mr. Cost would...
I brought you some money, didn't I? When I came in yesterday.
Nothing worries my brother. What have you been doing?
I took your brother's advice. I went underground.
I'm sorry?
I spent the night in an underground station. Since then, I've just wandered. Rennett let me down.
Rennett?
The private detective. I rang him. You can guess what happened.
The police?
Yes. Can you meet me somewhere for 5 minutes?
No, it's not possible.
Please, for 2 minutes.
It wouldn't be safe. My brother would be angry.
I'm alone. I don't know what's happening. There's no one who can advise me, answer questions.
I'm sorry, truly.
What puzzles me is there's nothing in the papers. So, I've written to the police.
No! Have you posted it?
Not yet.
Then wait. There may not be any need.
All right. Do you think it will be safe to go to my bank?
You are so helpless. No, they will watch you there.
But I have to live.
Haven't you someone
A friend who can cash a check.
Yes. Yes. I suppose so.
Well, then. Mr. Rowe.
Yes.
Keep well away. And be careful.
Careful? It's not easy. People say, be careful. But without experience. Are you taking me, Mr. Beavis?
To see a man called Prentice. You like the sound of your cake. He's the surrealist around here. In here.
Given up knocking, Beavis?
I'm doing you a favor. How often do you turn anyone over to us? I suppose we can sit down.
Of course, my dear fellow. Pull up those chairs.
This is Mr. Arthur Rowe. I take it the name means something.
I do read the newspapers.
He says he's been in a nursing home, loss of memory. We managed to get it clicking. Perhaps he ought to set up a clinic.
Then why bring Mr. Rowe to me?
You'll be interested to hear he saw Cost murdered.
Not my Mr. Cost.
The same. Dr. Forrester attended the death.
My Dr. Forrester? Oh, you are doing me a kindness, Beavis.
Mr. Rowe's been a patient of the doctor's.
Has he now? You'd better fill me in, Beavis.
Me fill you in? No, thanks. The fantastic's more in your line. No, I'll just leave you, Mr. Rowe. Pleasant nightmares to you both.
Nice chap, Beavis. Tell me, Rowe, it's a good place.
As long as you didn't quarrel with the doctor.
And if you did?
You could find yourself in the sick bay for violent cases.
You know, Rowe, I can't help admiring him. You didn't have any complaints, then?
Oh, he treated me very well.
Of course they did. Still, it's such a pity. You see, they're all voluntary patients.
I'm sorry? I don't follow.
No, of course you don't. But if only one of them would complain, one might have an excuse to look at the place. Tell me, did you ever meet a man called Poole?
Yes. He's the attendant. He came to see me once.
When?
I don't know. You see, time doesn't mean anything. But he wanted a cake I'd won. I wouldn't give it up. So he tried to kill me. Do you think I'm mad?
How does one define madness when life is so odd, so very odd? You should read more history.
What has history to do with now?
It repeats itself. Silkworms, you know, were smuggled out of China in a hollow walking stick. And I certainly wouldn't mention the places that diamond smugglers use. At this very moment, I'm looking, you'll never believe how anxiously, for something which may not be bigger than a diamond. A cake. Yes, why not? But I wonder why he didn't kill you.
I don't know. There are so many blanks.
We forget what gives us pain, but you're doing very well. Now, let's go back to the murder of our friend Cost. That could have been staged, you know.
Staged? Why?
To send you into hiding, to stop you coming to us. But apparently you didn't go into hiding, nor did you come here. So what was it you knew? Or we knew? It's a beautiful problem in algebra. I see you've told Beavis a great deal.
All I can remember. It's all there in the statement.
I see Beavis showed you some photographs.
Yes.
One of them jogged your memory, so let's try again. Now, how about this one? What profession do you think he followed?
He was a private detective.
Excellent. Now, this anonymous little man had an anonymous little name.
Something like Jones.
Yes, Mr. Rowe. And you and he, let's call him Jones, have something very much in common. You both disappeared. But now you've come back.
And he hasn't.
Regrettably, he is still missing. Rennett sent Jones to look after you, but somewhere along the line, you gave him the slip.
He never went back to Rennett's office. I phoned Rennett.
To tell him you were wanted for murder. Which, Mr. Rowe, was something I found very interesting.
Why?
Because, to the best of our knowledge, no one had been murdered in London during the previous 24 hours. Unless, of course, poor Jones had gone that way. But obviously you knew something.
So you advertised?
And heard nothing until today. Then you arrive in a beard you certainly used not to wear, saying that you'd lost your memory, but remembering at least that you had been accused of murder. The only problem is that you picked out a corpse we know to be very much alive.
Do, Do you think I killed Jones?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. The question is, what made you lose your memory?
Well, I only know what I've been told.
And that was?
A bomb. That's how I got my scar.
You alone?
No.
That was quick. Who was with you?
A girl.
What was her name?
Her name, she was called...
Yes, Mr. Rowe.
Anna. Yes, that's it. Anna Hilfe.
And why were you with her?
I think we were... No.
Tell me, were you an habituée of the Regal Court?
It's a hotel.
You remember that much?
That's an easy guess. Why do you ask?
A shot in the dark. You see, Mr. Rowe, we have so little time.
Like the man with the books. He said he had very little time. Anna. I phoned her. She said stay away. Then there was the man. And the birds.
They can't spoil Whistler's tapes.
I beg your pardon?
It's safe underground in a bomb-proof vault.
What is?
Whistler's painting. Come here, my pretty. You know, Uncle. Of course you do.
It must be difficult providing with all your nephews.
It is indeed. Strictly illegal, I dare say.
Oh, a few crumbs. I've seen you before, haven't I? Twice today, now I come to think of it.
I dare say it's a small world. I buy and sell old books. Landscape gardening's my speciality. Name's Fullove, Fulham Road. I make a living, and I go on, shoot, go on. Not the kind of living I should make, but then everything's depressed. What they want to fight for, I don't know.
Because we're all living in a madhouse, that's right.
No, mad or not, it's ruining my business. You see this suitcase? It's full of books from a stately home. I'd show them to you, except I'm afraid of bird droppings. You know, sir, in the old days, I'd have treasured them. Waited for summer and the Americans, but now... Well, I'm just grateful for a chance to get rid of them.
I'm sorry, but I'm not a customer.
Oh, I'm not trying to tout you. Oh, dear me, no. No, no. I have a customer. They have to be delivered before 5, 1 minute after, and I lose the sale.
Well, he sounds somewhat strange.
No, sir. Careful. He wants to take them down to the country before the rains start. You'll excuse me, sir, but I must sit. Perhaps you'll join me and have a smoke. You look a bit done in yourself.
Oh, I'm all right. The books. I could find you a taxi.
Thank you, sir. Yes, but on the margin I work on these days, no. I take a taxi. That's a dollar gone, eh?
I suppose it's how you look at it. Still, if you're going to make a sale...
Yes, well, I suppose I'd better, sir. You know, I enjoy a talk. It's not often you get a good talk these days. It's such a rush between shelters, eh?
You sleep in a shelter?
Oh, they can't bear bombs. And the shelters, some people, they just aren't considerate. Snoring, squabbling. But here, by the river, the trees, the birds, well, they make up for it, eh? Until you have to leave.
Oh, here. Give me that case. I'll walk you to a bus stop.
Oh, I couldn't bother you. No, I'll just take that taxi.
Well, you'd better, unless you want to lose your sale.
Oh, well, then, sir, the least I can do is give you a lift. That is, if you're going my way, perhaps you'll be kind enough to keep your eye out for a cab.
If you're stopping here, I can get out.
I am, sir. This'll do, driver. Now, sir, I wonder if you'd do me a last small favor. The Regal Court Hotel. The stairs are a caution for a man of my age. And in a place like that, no one offers the likes of me a hand. I wonder if you'd mind taking the case up for me.
Who do I deliver them to?
Just ask for room 6. It's a Mr. Travers. And afterwards, I'll take you on in the cab.
But you don't know where I might want to go?
Oh, I'll risk it, sir. In for a penny.
I might want to go a very long way.
Oh, no matter, sir. I'm a man of my word.
Oh, it might be better to get the commissionaire.
It might, sir, but then he might not deliver it straight away.
You could go with him, make quite sure.
Yes, That I could, sir, but I'd still have to face the stairs, and at my age, at the end of a long day, you know. Now, you wouldn't refuse an old man.
Very well. But you'll wait.
Oh, trust me, sir, trust me.
Where shall I leave them?
Oh, anywhere you like. But Mr. Travers said he wanted you to stay.
I don't take orders from Mr. Travers.
Perhaps you'll listen to me.
Miss Hilfer, have you come to see Travers too?
No, I came to see you.
Well, if there's nothing else, miss.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Rowe.
How did you know I was going to be here? I didn't know myself until 10 minutes ago.
I don't know what excuse they thought up for you. Just go, please.
My, they certainly do people well here. Wireless, books, telephone. Ah, where's the bar? In pastel shades, too.
Have you noticed anything?
What do you mean?
You do not notice much for a journalist.
How on earth did you know that I was a journalist?
My brother. He checked up on everything.
Everything?
Yes, Mr. Rowe. But we're wasting time. You haven't noticed anything?
What?
Mr. Travers doesn't seem to have used anything. Not even the soap. It's still in its wrapping.
You're extremely observant, Miss Hilfer. Now perhaps you could tell me, very slowly, how you knew I would be here and why you came.
I'm sorry, but I cannot tell you how. As to why, I've asked you to go away quietly. I was right the last time when I telephoned you at Mrs. Belair's.
Yes. Yes, you were right.
I know that there is no harm in you, and I like justice.
And it's good if you can get it.
Yes, but you won't get it from them.
Them? Do you mean Mrs. Belair's or Canon Toppling? Or the man with the books? Oh, look, I'm very tired. You can tell your brother that he's not to bother. I'm giving up. Let them kill who they like. I'm out of it completely.
What will you do?
Go away.
Where?
Where they can never find me. I know a place. Perhaps they won't want to find me. I think all they were really afraid of was that I might find them. Oh, funny. Now I'll never know what it was about.
I am glad you are going away. They are bad, and it is none of your business. Besides, I do not wish for you to be hurt any more.
I'm bad, too. You know that. You checked on me.
Mr. Rowe, where I come from, there are many bad people. I know them, recognize them. You are not bad. You haven't the right marks. But you worry too much about what is over and done.
Over? But is it ever done?
Yes. What you did was done for a good reason. It was a mercy killing. That was what the papers called it.
You saw the stories?
All of them. And the pictures. So listen to me, Mr. Rowe. I have seen a lot of killings, but they were not done for mercy. Don't think so much. Give yourself a chance.
All right. In that case, we'd better decide what to do about Mr. Travers. I suppose that if he comes, he'll hand me over to the police.
I don't know what he will do.
You're not in it, are you?
No.
I didn't think you were. But if you're not, that means they wanted us both here. They knew we'd waste time talking, explaining. Don't you see, Anna? They want us both.
Oh.
Come on. We're leaving now. Come on. I just hope we're not too late. Hold on.
What is it?
We're blocked off. There's someone at the end of the corridor.
Can you see who it is?
No, he's got his back to me. Back into the room. Quietly now.
What do we do?
The door's locked, and the window's safe enough. Looks like all we can do now is... Of course, we could order dinner.
Dinner?
Yes. We could ring the restaurant, order lots of courses and good wine, let Travers pay the bill. We'll start with a good dry sherry.
If only we could be sure the right waiter would bring it.
That's a thought. What do you advise?
Ring reception. Argue with the desk clerk. Insist he comes up here. Then we can walk out with him.
The line's dead.
They think of everything.
Mr. Travers is certainly not making us very comfortable.
Arthur, I'm frightened. I don't like the dark.
Don't imagine things. This isn't Vienna.
In a few minutes, the sirens will start. Please, can we have the lights on?
Doesn't seem to be any juice. Come on. Remember, we're in London. This hotel is full of people. People on our side.
Who will now be rushing to the shelters, and the only ones left here will be us and them.
God. If only I had a weapon. A stick, a stone. The suitcase.
The suitcase?
Yes. Why should it contain books? It was heavy. Perhaps they're bricks.
I do not think I'd touch it. It might be...
Quiet.
What?
The door handle. There's someone testing it.
What do we do now?
Well, in the old days... They always call on the castle to surrender.
Don't joke, please. They're listening.
Let them. Getting tired of this cat and mouse game of being frightened of darkness and strange sounds. Don't bother to knock. Just come in. You know you've chosen the wrong man. You know I'm not afraid to kill. Just give me a weapon, a stick, a stone, a brick.
You're right, Arthur. We must do something. Right or wrong, it must be our move, not theirs.
I'm opening the case.
Great thing, Mr. Digby, is not to worry.
Oh, don't think I'm not enjoying myself here, but the fact remains, who am I?
We know that, Mr. Digby. Your identity card. Now, just relax. Now, that feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, it feels good. And I know what the card says, that I'm Richard Digby. But who is Richard Digby? And how is he going to repay you for all of this?
Oh, that didn't worry you. Dr. Forrester is completely repaid just by your being here. You know, you're his prize specimen.
Life under a microscope. Well, it is luxurious.
Ah, he's wonderful. It's the finest shell shock clinic in the country, and he planned it all, whatever people may say. There. You can sit up now.
Oh. So you have cases worse than mine, violent ones?
Oh, we've had a few, but there's a separate sick bay and staff for them. He doesn't want attendants in this wing to be affected. You see, it's essential that we stay calm.
You certainly are that.
Sometime soon, I suppose, he'll give you a course. Psychoanalysis. That is, unless your memory comes back naturally.
I was wondering in bed this morning. Why is it that no one's come forward? You'd think someone would be worried. If I'd been married, for instance. That bothers me. Suppose she's trying to find me.
As a matter of fact...
Don't tell me you've unearthed a wife.
Not exactly, but... I think Dr. Forrester has some news for you. Get your robe on and I'll take you to him.
John said you had some news for me.
Draw up a chair, Mr. Digby. My, you look more like yourself every day.
Do I? But who knows if I really do? Look like myself, I mean... I don't, and you certainly don't. Perhaps I look less like myself.
Which leads straight into the important news. I've located someone. Someone who knew you in the old days.
Who?
I believe it would be better if you discovered that for yourself.
Right. It's stupid, but I feel a little faint.
Yeah, well, that's only natural. You aren't very strong yet. Here. This'll put you right.
Dear Pepe.
You see how fast things can come back? Have another.
No, no, no. No, it's blasphemy to drink it as medicine.
I waited until I felt that you were strong enough.
Yes?
So I leave the two of you alone. I'm sure you won't disappoint us.
He's here now.
She is here. Now, just you relax, Mr. Digby.
He's in there.
Waiting.
Good morning.
You've changed. Your hair is much grayer, and that scar. Yet you look so much younger, happier.
It's a very pleasant life here.
They have been good to you.
Very good.
But you don't remember me?
No. I'm sorry. I wish I could.
Don't be sorry. Never be sorry again.
I just meant this silly brain of mine.
My name is Anna Hilf.
That sounds foreign.
I am Austrian.
We're at war with Germany. Isn't Austria?
I am a refugee.
Yes. I've read about them.
You have forgotten everything. Even the war.
I have a great deal to learn. Tell me, were we simply friends?
Just friends. Why?
Well, you are very pretty.
You saved my life.
How did I do that?
The bomb. Just before it went off, you knocked me down and fell on top of me. I wasn't hurt at all.
I'm very glad. When there might be so many discreditable things I might learn, I'm glad there's one good one.
Strange. All these terrible years since 1933, and they're just history to you. All you've done is read about them.
1933. Now, 1066 I can give you easily.
Hitler came into power in 1933.
Yes. I remember now. I've read it all over and over again. But the dates don't stick. I suppose the doctor told you not to tell me anything. But I wish you'd break the rule about one thing. The only thing that does worry me. I'm not married, am I?
No. No, you are not married.
It was an awful idea that... Well, I might have to go back to an old relationship. Something that meant a great deal to someone else and nothing to me. Of course, a new relationship would be different. You are a new one.
So now there is nothing left to worry you.
Only that when you walk out of that door, you might not come back. You see, I don't have any friends now. Except you.
Oh, I'll come back. They want me to. They have to know, you see.
What do they want to know?
When you start remembering, you are sure they are good to you here.
I'm their prize patient.
And you like Dr. Forrester?
She fills one with awe.
You've changed so much. This is how you should have been.
And you'll come back often?
I'll come often. It's my job. Goodbye, Arthur.
There must have been some reason why she called me Arthur.
You said you were tired. You could have misheard.
I don't know. Perhaps I did. Tell me, Johns, what is a fifth column?
You've been reading again. Fifth column. Well, I suppose they're like traitors, but they don't necessarily work for cash. It's more ideological. The man who thinks gold is evil, he gets attracted naturally to the economic system Hitler wants for Germany.
But Hitler is shedding blood.
Yes, but idealists don't see blood like you and me. It's statistics to them. Right, Mr. Digby, you're done.
I was reading the questions in Parliament. Someone thinks there's another kind of fifth column. People who are blackmailed.
The Germans are expert at that. In their own country, they card-indexed all their so-called leaders and presented them with an ultimatum. Accept or face the public prosecutor. They formed a kind of Ministry of Fear. Wouldn't surprise me if they didn't have the same thing here. Makes you feel you can't depend on a soul. Anyway, what do the MPs think?
Apparently, an MP thought some important plans were stolen from the Department of Home Security. They'd been taken home by a minister. Next morning, they were missing.
Any explanations?
Yes. The minister said the MP had been misinformed. According to him, the documents weren't required that morning. But that afternoon, they were fully discussed and then returned to the ministry files.
These MPs, they always get hold of the wrong end.
There just seem to be a lot of holes. Why should an MP ask a question like that unless he knows something? And then the minister. His answer was smooth. He didn't deny that the plans were missing, just that they weren't wanted in the morning. And that when they were wanted, they were available.
You mean that there was time for them to be photographed? Oh, now you've got me all excited. Do you mind if I smoke a cigarette? Something like that happened about 3 months ago, just after you came here. An MP made a fuss about some papers that had been missing for several hours. Said they might have been photographed.
It could tie up. Perhaps the first attempt at photography failed.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be able to use the same politician twice. They'd have to try another man. Wait until they had him carded and filed in the Ministry of Fear. The thing would be to follow up the first case, the one they bungled, and find the point of failure.
And just how do you do that? Now it's time for your walk. Why not go down by the pond? It's quiet there.
I say, you! Yes, you!
Having a spot of trouble?
Of course I am. I wanted to get to the island. Sure treachery leaving a place like that, unoccupied.
Treachery?
Yes. The island commands the whole house. Don't just stand there, man. Give me a hand with this plank. You can go on, push. There, Mason, look what you've done. We've lost it now.
I'm sorry.
It's my fault. I forgot you weren't a trained man. Apologies. Name's Stone. What's your trouble? Been sick, like the rest of us?
Loss of memory.
Been on the island, have you?
No. London. A bomb.
Oh, bad show. Civilians with shell shock. Thank God I'll be leaving here soon. Be able to be of use again.
Major Stone!
Now, you, sir. You haven't seen me. Understand, you haven't seen me.
Mr. Digby, have you seen a man, army type, Major Stone?
I don't think so, no.
Dr. Forrester wants him.
He's had a relapse.
Well, I did see someone earlier.
I've got to find him before he does himself or someone else an injury.
You might try the other side.
Right, Poole, he's the other side of the pond. Come on, the doctor's very anxious.
Haven't I met you somewhere before?
If you have, I don't remember.
Well, we know each other now. I'm the keeper.
Really? Well, I don't know you from Adam. And I certainly don't want to.
Mr. Poole! Mr. Poole!
You asked to see me?
Good morning, Mr. Digby. Please sit down. Mr. Digby, what are we going to do about you?
I'm sorry? I don't understand.
You've started demanding things.
All I asked for was my clothes and a razor.
Why a razor?
To shave. I'm sure this beard doesn't belong.
That only proves your memory is still at fault.
And I had no newspaper at breakfast.
I gave orders that your papers were to be stopped. Johns has acted most unwisely, exciting you about the war. Poole told me how you reacted to him yesterday.
Well, I refused to be treated like a child.
You seem to think you have a talent for investigating parliamentary problems.
Just conversation? Anyway, I might have been a detective.
I can assure you, you were not. You were something quite different.
What?
It may be necessary to tell you one day, to prevent you making any foolish mistakes.
I'm leaving here.
After paying your bill, I hope. My dear Digby, be reasonable. You're very sick. 20 years of your life has been wiped out. That's not health. And yesterday, and again here, you're showing excitement, something I hoped you would avoid. Now, I don't want to have you restrained or certified.
Certified? But I'm as sane as you are.
That's exactly what Major Stone said. But underneath, he has an obsession which could lead to violence.
Why are you telling me?
As a warning, your symptoms are very much the same. But now, he's in sick bay. Oh, don't worry. I'm sure that you won't reach that point. But for a while, we must be very quiet. Plenty of food, plenty of sleep. No visitors. Not even your friend John's. We mustn't have any more exciting intellectual conversations.
How about Anna, Miss Hilfer?
I made a bad mistake there. No. No, Mr. Digby. We are not strong enough yet. I have told Miss Hilfer she is not to come again.
You, Barnes?
It's Digby. We met at the pond. Where are you?
Of course. Barnes is dead.
Come closer to the grill so that I can hear you better.
They said I was violent. I'm in a straitjacket, old man. I know I've been a bit touched, but I'm not mad.
I know.
Don't they lock you in?
No. They believe I'm seeing sense. But I didn't take the sleeping pill. But what did you do?
The island. He started digging there months ago.
Who did?
The Hun. Well, I couldn't leave it like that. So I came across to this wing to see Paul. His room's close to the island.
Yes?
I didn't mean to make him jump. I just wanted to explain.
Jump?
The doctor was there with Paul. They were doing something in the dark.
I can't stay, Stone. Listen, you're not mad. Somehow I'll get you out. But you've got to stick it out for a bit.
You're a good chap, Digby. I reckon that if you're here, well, perhaps I'm not touched after all. It has to be treachery.
Just one thing. Who's Barnes?
Barnes?
Yes. You thought I was Barnes.
He was a good man. They got him on the beach. Mind was wandering. Sorry.
Have you any relations, Stone?
I had a wife. She went away. She was quite right, old chap. Quite right. It was a lot of treachery. Digby, are you still there?
Yes.
The island. You've got to keep an eye on it. I can't from here. But I don't matter anyway.
I'll watch the island. Now, I've got to go and do some more sniffing. But remember, I'll be back for you.
I'll stick it. Been in worse jams. Still, I wish...
The Minister of Home Security replied the documents had never been missing.
Mr. Digby, what are you doing?
Catching up on the news.
But you know what the doctor said. If he found out...
What could he do, Johns? I mean, this isn't a prison... Unless you remember poor Major Stone. Well, it's a very charming nursing home, and I'm a private patient with nothing wrong except loss of memory. Isn't that correct, Jones?
You make it sound so simple.
The doctor makes you see it differently, doesn't he?
All the same, Mr. Digby, a patient, well, he should follow the treatment.
Or change his doctor. I think...
Exactly. Look, I'll speak to the doctor, persuade him to let you have newspapers, even let her come and visit... Only let me put it to him. I know how to without him taking offense.
Johns, why are you so afraid of my going?
I'm not afraid of you going. I'm afraid he won't let you go.
So there is something wrong with the doctor. Stone saw something strange and he was locked away.
For his own good. Dr. Forrester said so. Brain's got the most delicate mechanisms. Dr. Forrester...
Forrester be damned.
I've talked to Stone.
You've been there?
Haven't you? Ever?
No. It's forbidden. Oh, Mr. Digby, if only you knew.
I think he'll have to know.
Dr. Forrester, I didn't give him leave.
That's all right, Johns. I know how loyal you are. I like loyalty. I remember how you stood by me after Conway committed suicide. By the way, have you told Digby about Conway? About the way he died?
Never.
But he should know, Johns. It's a case in point. Conway also suffered from amnesia. Life had become too much, and his loss of memory was an escape. I tried to make him strong, really strong, so that when his memory returned, he would have the courage to meet his very difficult situation. The time I spent wasted on Conway. Johns will tell you I was so patient, but I'm also human. I have a temper. One day I could not restrain it. I told Conway everything. He couldn't take it. He killed himself that night. There was a lot of trouble, but John stood by me. He realizes that a good psychologist sometimes has to share the mental weakness of a patient. One cannot be completely sane all the time. That's what gives one sympathy.
But in my case, it was a bomb that destroyed my memory, not problems.
Do you really believe that? I suppose you think it was gunfire and concussion that drove Stone to madness.
What else?
Stone failed shamefully. Now he explains everything as treachery. But it wasn't treachery that left his friend Barnes to die.
And now you have a revelation for me?
You have insisted in not...
Upsetting your routine? Tell me, Dr. Forrester, what were you doing with Poole the night Stone saw you digging?
Please, Mr. Digby, go to bed.
I'm quite ready to go to bed.
Not until I have told you what you want to know. Then you can choose whether you want to be a Conway or a Stone. I've still room in the sick bay.
You ought to be there yourself, Doctor.
You're such a fool. You don't even know your real name. But now you'll know. Look at the picture. See yourself as you really are. Mr. Arthur Rowe. A murderer. Go. Think about that.
Wanted for questioning? That's not me.
Look in the mirror. You have a lot to remember. Just like Conway did.
Must have been quite a shock.
Yes. But suddenly I knew I wouldn't be either a Conway or a Stone. I'd escape. I knew I could start again.
Excellent.
I wish you'd tell me, Mr. Prentice.
I just want you to behave naturally.
I might if I knew what was happening. I came to see you to meet a charge of murder. Now I'm in total confusion. But I do want to know.
Very well. We're looking for a tiny roll of film. I must have read the newspapers, the questions in Parliament about certain papers which went missing for a couple of hours.
Yes.
But that was for public consumption. And now it's happened twice. The first roll was hidden in a cake. It was to be picked up at a fete. But you, Roe, accidentally gave them the password.
Mrs. Bellairs?
Yes. She's being looked after right at this moment. They tried to get it back. That attempt failed because of the air raid. But for that, Poole would have killed you.
That's what I tried to tell Rennett.
They might have left you alone after that, but you worried them. You started to follow it up. So they tried to frighten you. But for some reason, that wasn't enough. So they decided to blow you to bits. Again, you were lucky. You survived, but you lost your memory. As far as they were concerned, it was enough. It was better than killing you.
Why? They hadn't worried before.
Because, Roe, by disappearing, you took the blame both for the suitcase job and for the private detective, Jones.
Why try and kill Miss Hilfer?
Who knows? Perhaps because her brother helped you. Anyway, they had to try to get hold of the papers again. They also had to subvert another minister. As big a name and as big a fool as the first. The trouble Dunwoody has caused me.
Dunwoody?
A peer. But forget it. Anyway, both these fools, we discovered, had something in common. They used the same tailor. This'll do, cabby. Right, out you get. Keep the change. Davis?
Yes, sir. You're right, sir. That's him. He's the one who brought the case to my hotel for Mr. Travers.
Davis, this is Mr. Rowe. Now, I'm going into the tailor's shop here to be measured for a suit. After a few minutes, I want you two to follow. I understand.
No, sir, not quite, sir. At least, not what it's all about and what I'm doing here.
Well, never mind
I'm a reception clerk.
Never mind that. Just come into the shop and see if there's anyone you recognize. Now, you needn't be afraid. I've got the place surrounded.
I'm not afraid, sir.
Neither am I.
Now, don't forget, a couple of minutes.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir?
A friend is being fitted. He asked us to meet him here.
Oh, certainly, sir. If you'd care to take a seat.
We'll look around, if you don't mind.
Oh, not at all, sir. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Mr. Rowe, over there by the desk, it's Mr. Travers.
Travers? That's not Travers. Look, Davis, nip through the cubicles. Find Prentice.
What are you going to do?
Talk to a man I'm supposed to have murdered. Now, go on, man. Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Don't you remember me?
And not that I can recall, sir, but I will consider it. Just excuse me while I make a phone call. Hello, this is Pauline and Crosthwaite. Mr. Crosthwaite speaking.
Shouldn't you say Mr. Crosthwaite?
Just a moment, sir. Hello. Your suit was dispatched this morning. I trust in time for your journey. Thank you, sir. I'm sure once you've worn it, the shoulders will settle.
You are Mr. Cost, a friend of Mrs. Belair's.
No, sir. Now, if you'll let me finish my call. I'm sorry about that, a customer. No, sir, I fear we shall not be able to handle any more orders. No, it's not coupons. It's just that there will be no more of that pattern available. Personally, sir, I have no hope. No hope at all. Mr. Bridges, I wonder if I might borrow these cutting shears for a moment.
I know your cost. Prentice, here.
I know. Davis told me. Now, don't worry. He can't get away.
He went into the men's room. This way. My God. He's cut his throat.
We turned the shop over. Nothing. You're sure there's nothing in Mrs. Belair's house?
I went straight with a tooth comb and I swear she hasn't an idea.
Still, she's only a pawn.
Do you think Dr. Forrester...
Forrester is a victim. Dangerous, but he's not the victimizer. He's one of the used, the blackmailed.
That doesn't mean he isn't the courier. But if we didn't find it at his place, where the... Look up ahead. What the hell are they playing at?
Can't go in there, sir. Sorry.
Oh, yes, I can. Here's my authority. Everything all right?
Not exactly, sir. The super will tell you. He's in the main wing, straight up the drive.
Look, Prentice, I'd rather not meet Forrester.
He won't have to. He's dead. In there. There are two other bodies in the kitchen.
He'll be all right, son.
Mr. Digby, I killed him, Mr. Digby.
Johns?
After you escaped, he wouldn't call the police. Then he locked himself away with Poole. They were going to kill Major Stone. He said Stone had a tumor, and Poole agreed with him. I went out in the garden to think...
Slowly, Johns, take it slowly.
I heard Major Stone scream. I went back, and there he was, in the straitjacket. Poole was chloroforming him, murdering him. And the doctor was just watching. I couldn't stand it. I ran to the doctor's office. I knew where he kept his gun. I came down and shot them. Then I phoned the police. I had to do it. I had to do it.
Come on, lad. We'll look after you.
Right, Constable. Take him away.
Three dead, one under arrest.
But not the top man or the films. There's a dark room downstairs, by the way. Now, I want you to come to the island. There's a bit more unpleasantness there. Lead the way, Roe.
How did you know where to dig?
They left marks. I suppose they were amateurs of this. That's why they were scared of what Stone saw.
Reached it, sir. Careful now. That's it.
Open it up.
Not very pleasant. I wonder what they did with the rest of him. I wouldn't look too close, Ro.
Who is it?
I think we'll find his name was Jones.
You.
Yes. Can I come in?
How did you find me?
Through Cost. He made a phone call and I noticed the number he dialed. I traced the address. Here.
I didn't know you were there. It's horrible.
So was last night. Did you know Dr. Forrester and Poole were dead?
No.
Aren't you sorry? Such a massacre of your friends.
No. I'm glad.
They used you. Got you to watch me. To see when my memory was coming back. Then they'd have finished me. Like poor Major Stone.
You're so right and so wrong. I don't suppose we'll ever get it straight now. Yes, I watched you for them. I didn't want your memory to return any more than they did. But my reason was different.
Really?
I didn't want you hurt. Do you remember everything now?
Enough. Enough to know I'm not a murderer.
Thank God. I like you, Happy. It's the way you ought to be.
You know I love you. And I want to believe you're my friend. Where are the photographs?
He has them.
He?
My brother.
Willie. But he helped me. I remember. He took me to Mrs. Belair's house.
He staged Cost's murder and then helped you to escape. Then you phoned me and said you'd written a letter to the police. I told him about it.
Why?
I didn't want him in trouble. Not for just frightening you, but he thought you had become dangerous. He arranged for you to be killed.
But you were in the room as well. You could have been killed.
He hadn't forgotten I'd phoned you at Mrs. Belair's. I wasn't on his side anymore. So he told me you'd be at Travis's flat and that I ought to go there and persuade you not to send the letter. Then he sat in another flat and waited for the explosion.
But you're alive.
Thanks to you. And I'm even on probation again. I won't be killed unless it's really necessary. He calls it family feeling.
Why am I alive?
He's economical. They all are. The maximum terror for the minimum of time directed against the fewest objects.
You really do hate him.
He's made such a mess. So fine, so intelligent, and yet all he can spread is fear.
Where's he going?
To Ireland. He has permission. Lady Dunwoodie arranged it. What are you going to do?
Go in and see him. Hilfe. Hilfe, wake up.
Mr. Rowe. Anna. This is a surprise.
I want the photographs.
Ah, yes, the photographs. It's what you call a fair cop. Very well. I surrender.
Just give them to me.
Why don't we swap? After all, you don't want your future brother-in-law eliminated.
No bargains. I want the photographs. The police want you. And you didn't talk terms to Major Stone or Jones.
I cannot be held responsible for what my subordinates do. Do you read poetry, Mr. Rowe? I have a book here. It has something in it which meets the case completely. Now, I suggest you both hold very still.
I was wondering where you had it.
I always feel a gun makes a good basis for a bargain. Now we're both in a hole.
You've nothing to offer. These walls are paper thin. You are known as the tenant. The police would get you within hours.
If I'm to die, there might as well be a massacre.
It wouldn't be economical.
No, but then again, it would be rather grand.
Well, it doesn't matter to me. Being killed would be quite useful.
So, your memories come back.
What's that to do with it?
A great deal.
Don't listen to him.
She doesn't want you to know about your past. She wants you as you are, not as you were.
Just give me the photographs.
Wouldn't you like to know how famous you are?
My wrists! You've broken it!
Now there is no need to bargain.
Give me the gun, Anna.
No, just wait outside. Outside, Arthur, or I'll shoot
you. Anna, he tried to kill you.
Anna.
You must let him go. Promise me.
Please wait outside, Arthur. I will join you.
Over here.
There you are. It's what you want.
You've let him go. Why?
It was part of the bargain.
Then you've lost. This isn't it.
But it must be. He swore it was.
They've made prints. I don't know how many, but there can only be one negative. You'll have to tell me where he's gone.
Paddington.
She promised me a head start.
You cheated her once too often.
I'm still ready to swap.
You've nothing I want.
And you don't know where the negatives are. Have you still got my gun?
Yes.
I'll exchange it for the photographs.
So, you've got them on you. Then there's no need to bargain.
I thought perhaps you wouldn't want Anna dragged in. I don't suppose they'll hang her. Perhaps it will just be internment until the war ends and then deportation.
Give me the negatives, and then we'll talk.
Very well. But I can hardly strip here. We'd better leave the train. And I'll be better than my word. How would you like your memory back?
The negatives are all I want. There's a lavatory down at the end of the platform.
My jacket. The negatives are sewn in the shoulder pad. You'll need a knife. Here. Recognize it?
Should I?
I wondered. Now are you satisfied?
Yes. These are the negatives.
And now the gun?
No. You've cheated too often.
Be sensible. You think I want to escape? The train's gone. I wouldn't get 100 yards if I killed you here.
Then why do you want it?
I want to get farther away than that. I don't want to be beaten up.
We don't beat up prisoners.
No? You think you are so different from us?
I know we are.
Unfortunately, I don't trust the difference. They think they can make me talk. Roe, I'll swap you. Your memory for my gun. No one else can offer you that.
Anna can.
No. She let me go rather than let me tell you. She wants you as you are.
It's as bad as that? No. I'm sorry. No gun.
I gave you your chance, Roe. If you'd given me the gun, I would just have killed myself. But now I'm going to tell you, Gladys.
I don't want to know.
Are you going for the police?
Yes.
Without hearing about your wife?
My wife? Am I married?
You were.
What happened to her?
You murdered her, Roe. Poisoned her. Your Alice.
You're lying, Hilfe.
You poisoned her with hyoscine. That's why the taste was so familiar. It's coming back, isn't it, Roe? The arrest, the trial, the faces of the jury. Can you see them, Roe? Then the sentence, detention in an asylum for His Majesty's pleasure.
It's not true.
You were quite a celebrity in all the papers. The Mercy Killer, that's what they called you. You should look up the clippings. I can give you the dates, the murder, the trial, and your release. Now all you need to do is decide. Is it the police or Anna?
have the gun.
Roe?
Yes?
Look at me.
Anna. He's dead. He shot himself.
What did he say to you?
He was dead before I could reach him. Directly he saw me, he knew it was all up.
He said nothing?
My dear, how much I love you.
Me too. Me too.
In The Ministry of Fear by Graham Greene, Arthur Rowe was played by George Baker, Anna, Angela Pleasance, and Dr. Forrester, Sidney Taffler. Prentice, Vernon Joyner, Beavis, John Gabriel,